Morning. It's wonderful and blessing to be here this morning.
I think I'm not far enough, I can take this off here, buddy.
But you know, it's always wonderful when we can talk to someone about the Word of God. But you know what's even better and a greater feeling? When they're willing to listen to you. It just makes you feel like you're doing something great because according to God's Word, we are doing something great. But then you get thinking, what if I'm asked a question that I don't know the answer to? What am I supposed to do? First, I'll be honest with them. So you know it's a good question. Because that's an opportunity for them to study God's Word with you. So you can go to them and talk to them a little bit.
Thank you, sir.
And study God's Word. But that's also another opportunity to invite them to come to church with you. Just tell them, hey, you know, I've kind of stopped on this myself, and but we do have some brothers at the church that can help us with this. But then get the brethren to call ahead of time. We can do a study. But what I'm saying is just that there are just so many ways that we can incorporate the opportunity to speak to one about God. How do you get to know more about God's Word? By studying it. And by studying God's Word, I'm not saying just pick the Bible up, open it up, and read it. I'm talking about read it. Read a couple of verses. Think about it. I like to cross-reference. I like to go over to other ones like I'm doing a little bit this morning. But it gives us the opportunity to talk to people about God. Now this morning, I'm going to be talking out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 15. And also, I'm going to be going to back and forth to 2 Chronicles. Because as Brother Clay told us, done a wonderful lesson for us. That Kings and 2 Chronicles goes along with the same timeline. I got looking at them, and I think I got this right. That Kings is based more on the events of what's happening, and 2 Chronicles is more on the spiritual background of why it happened and what happened and everything. So both of them together, Brother Clay had talked with us and taught us in this. But I think it was Brother Billy that asked a question. Was King Asa a good king? And Brother Clay did a good job explaining to him as well as the other comments. So I got to studying and got looking on it and got interested. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from King Asa that we can use in our lives today. Now I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to let God's Word talk to you a little more than I usually do. In other words, I'm going to be doing more scripture reading. But I promise I won't hold you long. But as Carrie Lee and Marcia said, what's a better place to be than hearing God's Word? It is wonderful when you hear people say stuff like that, especially your own children, because it's a great encouragement to us. And before I get into my lesson this morning, I'd like to say we got some special people. I mean, everybody's special. We got a couple of birthday girls. I'd like to say happy birthday to Hannah and also to Carrie Lee. But just to show that it brings everything together, that where else would they rather be on their special day than in God's house with fellow Christians? My text this morning, if you would turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 15. I'm going to be reading, starting off verses 8 through 24. Where it says, "And Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa's son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the sodomites out of the land, removed all the idols that his father had made. And also Maachah's mother, even her he removed from being king, because she had made an idol in the grove. and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which him himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. And there were war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver, the gold that were left in the treasures of the houses of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezron, king of Israel, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." Verse 20 says, "So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the host, which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ajan and Dan, and Baal-Beth-Machah, and all the city of Roth, which is in the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard of thereof, that he left off building a Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judea. None were exempt, and they took away the stones of Ramah and the timbers thereof, wherewith Baasha had built. And King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah." And verse 23 says, "The rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead." Now here I know it's a good bit of reading, but it told us a good little bit that we're going to need to get into the lesson this morning. We see here that Asa reigned, was the third in Judah since the great division of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam. Now his father, Asa's father, Abijah, only reigned 3 years. If we backed up in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, 1 Kings 15, 3 and 4, it tells us that he's talking about Abijah, King Asa's father. It said, "And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem." Now, from these verses here, we learn that Abijah was not a good king, as the Lord counts goodness. And then verse 4 tells us that, in fact, the most notable thing about King Abijah was that he managed to raise a good son, King Asa. Now, this, we are told, was because of God's promise to David. We see over in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 1 through 6. If you would turn over with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. "So Abijah slept with his father, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. And the days of the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, to break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." And verse 6 says, "And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest." We see here that King Asa removed many idols and decreed the worship of God to be followed. We see also that he strengthened the Judah's cities. He had one major battle with an army from Ethiopia during his 10 years of reigning. But though he was outnumbered about 2-1, he turned to God and was saved. Look here in 2 Chronicles 14. Drop down to verses 11 and 12. And Asa cried out unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against us. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. We see here that he's got the attitude that each and every one of us should have, that you are our God, that you are able and you will help us, and have faith and to go up against whatever it is, because God's force, no one can be against us, or no virus or no thing, whatever it is, with God's strength and God's help, we can and we'll overcome it. Now we see over in, I'm running a little short on my time, but 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 through 7. It says, 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 7. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Odeb. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found to you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Amen. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their troubles did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there were no peace of him that went out, nor up to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation for destroyed of nation, the city of city, for God did vex him with all adversity. And verse 7 says, Be ye strong therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. As I said, God promised Asa to be with him as long as he remained faithful. Same thing with each and every one of us. He is be with us as long as we remain faithful. For 2 Chronicles, drop on down to 2 Chronicles 15 and 8. It said, And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Odeb, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the lands of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. As a result, here is telling us that Asa threw himself into the work of purifying Judah. We need to throw ourselves into the work of purifying wherever we're at, whoever we have the opportunity to talk to, whether it be here in Jessup, Brunswick, Darien, or wherever. We see in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 15, And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Here it's telling us that people began to flock to King Asa. Many left Israel to return to worshiping God in Judah. Time's sake, we're not going to get into it, but I'll read it. The 2 Chronicles 15, go ahead and read verses 12 through 15. 2 Chronicles 12 through 15. What it's going to tell us there is they committed themselves to serving God. They didn't just come over and join up and say, okay, I'm here, take care of me. They committed themselves to worshiping God. We see also in Chronicles 15 and 16. 2 Chronicles 15 and 16 that Asa did not even let family ties stop him from doing what is right in the eyes of God. we see in our teaching and our bringing up, mama's on the highest pedestal. We fall just a little short of Reverend Mama. Here, he reverenced God. He did what God told him, even though he had to put Mama out. Now, 2 Chronicles 15 and 17 pretty much tells us that he wasn't a perfect person, but he followed God with all his heart. Who's that sound like? That sounds like someone we need to be. We're not perfect. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be perfect. But we can follow God with our whole heart. True, we're going to mess up. God knows we're going to fall short. That's why he gave us his son, who gave his life on the cross, that we can have forgiveness of his son. Now, if God knew that once we become baptized, he threw a blanket over us, no more sinning, no more temptation, wouldn't have been no use in it. But he knew that that's not the way baptism worked. Baptism don't throw a shield around you to block you. We see that peace continued for another 25 years until Asa's 35th year in reign in Judah. 2 Chronicles 16:1, it says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the extent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Now here at Baasha, Israel's king, became frustrated with numbers leaving his territory. So he closed the borders and began building a fortified city. We see 2 Chronicles 16:2-5. I encourage you to read that. It is that basically what it's telling us is that it's at that time, or this time, that we see a change in Asa's attitudes. Instead of relying on God's help, Asa took the wealth of God's house, as well as his own, and used it to bribe the king of Aram to attack Israel on the north. Now we have to stop a minute. He was under the protection of the Almighty God. Nobody could do any harm to him, it seemed, but he lost faith and decided to go on his own. And God sent a prophet to Scholasia in 2 Chronicles 16:7-9. And then we see in 2 Chronicles 16:10 that Asa didn't like the message, so he threw the messenger in prison. How many times when, back before you become a child of God, someone come to you more and talk to you about God? How many times do you just want to shake your head and walk off? You want to shoot that messenger. Basically what Asa did. You're not telling me what I want to hear. I got the power. I'm going to use it. So he used it. Now, a few years later, according to 2 Chronicles 16:12, a few years later, Asa's feet began to give him trouble. He was still mad at God, and he didn't seek God's help. Oh, he sought out doctors, but not God. 2 Chronicles 16:13 says 2 years later, he died. Now, I'm not telling you if you get sick, don't go to a doctor. We need to. We're supposed to go to a doctor. But never stop praying and ask God. I don't care how good you think that doctor is. God is a lot more powerful. Time we got left, I want to look at the lessons that we can learn from King Asa. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to turn over right quick. Exodus, if you would. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make a come to thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations unto them that hate me. And verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Here what it's saying is God meant it when he said that there was to be no other God before him. And you know, there could be a lot of things that people worship and bow down to. They could be a vehicle, or a car, or a boat, or it could be a job, or it could be a person that we can let come between us and God. Now, God's telling us here, he's a jealous God, you better not do it. Not only were idols not to be worshipped, God expects his people to turn to him in times of trouble. We got a direct line. Now, there, we might lose reception with cell phones or stuff like that, but we have a direct line with the best reception you can get to our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4 and 11 tells us, Jeremiah 7, verses 4 through 11. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 4 through 11 tells us, it cannot be in words only. It must be matched with the life lived. And then we go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm running short of time, so I'm just giving you the verses. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 18 and 20. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 and 20. It says that so many today that think that they can use their own wisdom to do everything and get by in life. You're going to get by in life, but that's all you're going to do. We got to rely on God's help. Now, denominations, I've heard a couple of them say they vote on who they believe is acceptable to God and what laws they will or will not follow. What laws they think need to be changed and how they need to be reworded and everything. And they justify it by saying that we must adapt the Bible to modern society. But I'm getting here thinking, now isn't that backwards? Don't society need to adapt itself back to the ways of God? Even family must not stand between a person and our Heavenly Father. Trusting God means seeking God's solution in all things. Asa strayed when he began solving his problems with his own solutions. We need to pray and ask God for guidance. We need to pray and ask God for help. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. Proverbs 3, 5 and 7 tells us to trust God, not yourself. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 23, Jeremiah 10 and 23 tells us that man is not designed to direct his own way. Now it says man is not designed, but it's talking about women too. We as a human race are not designed to direct our own ways. And we can't go on without talking about Romans 12 and 16. In fact, I'm going to turn over real quick. Romans 12 and verse 16. God's going to tell us here, Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Here it's telling us to not be wise in your own estimation. We must be willing to listen to rebuke. Don't get mad when somebody's showing you God's word that we're doing something wrong. Be happy, be glad, and thank them for bringing it to your attention. Because it's better for them to bring it to your attention now and you get it straight than get up on judgment day and just point it out to you and we don't have time to get it straight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Proverbs 13 and 1 says, a wise man listens to correction. A wise man listens to correction. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Luke chapter 17, Verse 10 tells us that learning from a rebuke will make a deeper and more lasting impression. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, Luke 17, verse 3 tells us that when we see someone straying, we must be willing to rebuke them. We must be willing to go out and talk to them. Hey, I think we need to study God's word a little bit more, because I think you're not doing right. Proverbs 27, verse 5 tells us that such done in love shows true love. In other words, if we see a brother or sister straying, we go to them and talk to them and kind of point out with God's word, let God's word point out to them that they're straying. It shows them that is true love that we have for them. Asa, it says, that Asa was a fool not to listen to the warning from God and then to treat God's messenger with such contempt. Someone comes to you and wants to talk to you about God. Maybe it's against your beliefs and all. We still have to treat that person with respect. Now, talk to them and say, hey, you know, why don't we study God's word together? Study with an open mind and look through it. Be willing to repent of our past mistakes. That's going to be one of the hardest parts. Be willing to repent of past mistakes is another lesson we can learn from King Asa. Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Luke 13, 1 through 5. Some reported to Jesus the evil done by others. Jesus used the occasion to warn them about their own needs. So often we see the evil done by others and then congratulate ourselves for being a better person. Why is it that our own sins always seem less than someone else's sins? We got to remember, sin is sin. It don't matter who does it, how you do it, and don't even think you're going to do it without somebody looking, without somebody seeing you, because God sees you, He's the one that's going to judge you. Sin is sin. My sins can keep me out of heaven just as much as your sins can keep you out of heaven. In closing, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Flip over with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. When it says, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When we pray and ask God to help us through a certain situation, to help us through some trials, tribulations, stumbling blocks, and we just get the feeling God's not helping me, instead of saying, God, why aren't you helping me? Why not use God's word as a mirror to check our relationship out with God? How are we treating God? If someone come and ask you for a favor, to go way out of your way to do something, and they've been evil to you the whole time, are you really enthused about doing it? But now someone has been treating you with respect, helping you all they can, and just helping you, and you know they're a good friend, and they ask you for something. Isn't it a lot easier doing something? That's the same thing with God. God's done a lot for each and every one of us. He don't ask that much for us. Let's study God's word. Do what it takes. But first of all, I want to highly encourage you. Use God's word. Examine yourselves. And make sure your relationship is what it needs to be with God while we still have a chance. If you've already come and examined yourself and you find yourself falling a little short, you need the prayers, the encouragement of the congregation. Maybe you're going through some trials and tribulations, stumbling block. You need prayer and encouragement in the congregation. We ask you to come forward and we stand and sing our song of invitation.